May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be very familiar with this story of Jesus raising Lazarus. Maybe a new one to you. It's a beautiful story, a powerful story, but a story that is also remarkably rich in emotion. This family, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, was clearly a family that Jesus knew well. They lived in a town called Bethany, which was just outside Jerusalem. And it seems as if Bethany was the place that Jesus went when he needed a safe house, a retreat, somewhere where he wasn't going to be harassed or he wasn't going to be in danger. And it seems that this family was the family he went back to time and time again. You may remember the story of Mary and Martha, where Martha is all distracted in the kitchen, getting ready for a meal for Jesus and his guests. And Mary sits at Jesus' feet, and Martha comes out all harassed and says, Teacher, tell my sister to come and help me. And Jesus says, she's chosen the better thing, it will not be taken from her. It's that family, the same family, clearly a family that Jesus knew and loved and spent time with. And therefore, it is all the more surprising that when Jesus first hears that Lazarus is ill, he doesn't go. The story says that he waits. He's told, Lord, the one you love is ill. And then we're told, so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And Lazarus dies. And then Jesus goes. And actually, twice in the story as it unfolds, Jesus is confronted with a sentence, first by Martha and then by Mary, but they say exactly the same words. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If. It's a terrible word, isn't it? If. And anyone who has ever felt the pain of grief knows the pain of that word. If only I'd done this. If only I'd said that. If only I'd gone then. If only I'd acted differently. Sometimes that word can break people's hearts. If I had done this, then perhaps that wouldn't have happened. If I had done this, then my loved one might still be with me. If I had said that, then they would have heard it. And there wasn't chance. It can break your heart, that word. Martha and Mary take that word to Jesus. And they give it to him. You might almost say they throw it at him. If you had been here. And perhaps the second part of what they say is actually really angry. Where were you? Where were you when we needed you? We fed you. We've loved you. We've housed you. We've protected you. We've given you this safe house. We've given you our friendship and our hospitality, we have opened our home to you. And when we needed you, where were you? There is anger. And understandably, there is anger. And they take and they give it to Jesus. So there is that pain of the if. There is the anger of where were you? And then there is Jesus weeping. He is deeply moved when he sees how much they are grieving. And then he goes to the tomb and he weeps again. This is no cardboard cutout. Whatever the reasons for his delay, when he goes, he feels it all. And of course, he raises Lazarus from the dead. But Lazarus is not walking around now. Lazarus died again. So how do we make sense of this story? What does it mean to us? Firstly and foremost, I want you, whether grief is a part of your current experience or not, I want you to know that whatever you are feeling, you can bring it to God. Whether it is the heartbreak of the if, whether it is the anger of feeling that God was not present, or whether it is the simple, overwhelming emotion that comes with the separation of grief, that final full stop, that moment when you realize you are powerless and the person you loved is gone. Bring all those things to him, because he can cope. He is able to hold them. And it is the best place to take those feelings. And to know that as you feel those things, so he feels those things too. And know that this story tells us something deep and profound about the purposes of God. We were not created to die. We weren't. Death comes in the story of the scriptures after sin, after rebellion, after humanity goes wrong. That's when death comes. It is not actually part of the order that God has created. He has come to give us life. He did in creation, and he does in Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. We are not meant to die. We never were. And when you face death, and forgive me, I have for the first time in my life, properly, you realize that everything else doesn't really matter. How can we beat this thing which tears away from you? The people that you love, and the people who have been the anchors of your life, the people from whom you have drawn so much and have given you so much security, and now they're not there anymore. How do we beat this? Because if we can't beat this, what's it all about? And suddenly, the life of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus makes sense. He has come to deal with this most profound of challenges, of problems, of realities. He has come to conquer death. And that's why the empty tomb is so glorious. And here in the story of Lazarus, we get all sorts of echoes. Lazarus is in a tomb with a stone across the front. Lazarus is wrapped in cloths. It points forward to the resurrection of Jesus, that moment when the old order is finally broken and life eternal is reopened to us. So Easter is not just the heroic end to a wonderful life. It is the beginning of life eternal. So what does this story tell us? If your heart is breaking, and if you feel angry, and if you just want to weep, then this is a good place to do all those things. Jesus feels them too. But this most profound issue is dealt with. There is an answer. It doesn't make all those things go away, but it does light a candle in the darkness. It does bring some hope. Jesus is risen. Death has been defeated. There is hope. This is the best news of all. Amen.